Well, conservation wardens and municipal boat patrol officers are stepping up enforcement of impaired operator laws this weekend as part of a national effort known as Operation Dry Water. We'll find out about that and talk boating safety issues with Todd Schaller, Todd, Recreation Enforcement and Safety Specialist, Section Chief, for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. If you're planning on doing a little boating this weekend, or if you're maybe not this weekend, but another time, I hope you'll stay listening because there's a lot that we can talk about today relating to boating safety. There are some, every year, there are some horrible and terrible experiences, things that happen to people out on boats that really probably should not have happened and wouldn't have happened had certain things been in play. We'll visit with Todd about that. You can join in with your questions or comments or maybe an experience to share. That would be fine, too, at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. And Todd Schaller, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, Operation Dry Water, what's that all about?
Operation Dry Water, it's actually a national campaign to probably the biggest thing it's focused on is to just make our boating public aware of the impacts of alcohol in boating. And so there's a large element of the educational media campaign that goes along with this and getting that word out. And then the second phase of it is the enforcement aspect, and that's additional patrols on the water, some focus patrols, kind of, you know, really looking at and I guess targeting that impaired boat operator. It's something that's done early in the year to kind of hopefully carry on throughout the year and kind of make that awareness early on, and so later in the year people are still thinking about that safety concern as it relates to alcohol and operating boats.
Well, last year was the percentage, I think it was, I read, alcohol and drug use accounted for about, 35% of the boating fatalities in the state?
Yeah, in the state of Wisconsin, it ran about 35%. Nationwide, it's about 20%. And so it's much higher than it needs to be, and it's one of those things that can easily be prevented. And I guess that's the critical part.
Yeah, it surely is. And on a weekend like we have coming up here, I happen to live on a lake. My wife, our family lives on a lake, and we often don't boat very much on the weekend because of the amount of traffic on the lake. And, you know, it's not like there's a road with a yellow line and a shoulder. And there are people canoeing, there are people skiing, there are people fishing, there are people out there doing everything imaginable. So you've got to have a good head on your shoulders.
Absolutely, and you're right. There's really, you know, the boating world and is much different than the highway traffic that we deal with. You know, there's all shapes and sizes, as you alluded to. There's all different experience levels. There's people doing various things, as you mentioned, skiing, fishing, swimming. So it is important that you know what you're doing from an educational standpoint, but it's also important that you're, I guess, at the top of your game, and alcohol can impact that. It impairs us mentally. It impairs our vision. It impairs our reaction time, our balance, and all those things are so critical to safe boating.
What is the law regarding alcoholic beverages in a boat?
The law pertaining to alcohol on boats is the operator cannot be impaired or have a blood alcohol level above 0.08. So that's very similar to what we deal with
driving
on highways. The difference in, and maybe it's a challenge for us from an enforcement standpoint, is it's not illegal to have open intox in a boat. It's not illegal for someone to drink literally while driving. They just can't be impaired or be over that blood alcohol level. And that does kind of put a challenge out to us from an enforcement because people are recreating. It's time away. It's the weekend. And oftentimes they associate some alcohol consumption with that. But we really need to be aware that operator has to be, again, at the top of their game and not impaired by alcohol.
Some friends from Saskatchewan and in Canada, and when we went out boating for the first time, they were talking about this. In Canada, the rules are quite a bit different, at least in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, I believe actually Canada doesn't allow alcohol in the boat, period. And it is different. But in Wisconsin, we do. And in most states in the United States, they allow that consumption in the boat. And it really falls back on the operator and that person being unimpaired.
Well, let's take some questions. And again, we'll go to Stuart here first. But you can join in, too, with a question or comment at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. And Stuart and Mequon, thanks for calling. Hello.
Good morning. Well, thanks very much for the program. I'm really happy to hear about this, especially on this weekend. I consider myself an experienced canoe and a kayaker. My wife are out there 3 or 4 times a week on the Milwaukee River, and we recently had a wonderful experience to see an officer on the river north of Thiensville, first time in a few years, but we assume there's people out there. And I just want to pass along the message that I work for a company that rents canoes and kayaks, and I think it's really important for the officers as well as the people who are out there boating to, especially when they're in speedboats that produce large wakes, to realize that a lot of the people who are out there in canoes and kayaks don't know how to deal with the big waves that come off the back of a boat, and they don't know how to turn 90 degrees, so they're facing the waves, and hope that officers will keep track of that. And the people who are in the big boats like that will understand that some canoers and kayakers are likely to end up being tipped over by their waves, especially when boats come close to them on rivers like the Milwaukee. So anyway, that was the message I was passing along. And again, I was really happy to see the officer out on the Milwaukee River. Made me feel good.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Comment, Todd Scheller.
Yeah, that's a great point, Stuart. You know, we mentioned earlier the varying types of crafts out there, and canoes and kayaks are, their use is really growing in popularity in the state of Wisconsin, and they are a different craft. They without experience, they don't handle the wakes and waves that boats can put off. So as other boaters, we need to be aware of those impacts of that wakes and waves. And also, there is a law that says that as a boater, a boat operator, you're responsible for the damage that your wake could cause. So if you, a speedboat, large speedboat, or any boat goes speeding by a small craft or a canoe, and the wake causes that craft to tip over or take on water, the operator of the speedboat can be held responsible for that. So be aware of that. You know, slow down around those smaller crafts. Lakes are usually big enough. You can, there's space and room to move away and increase that distance, which is going to lessen the impacts of the wave or wake. So a great point.
And I wanted to bring up something else along, and I guess I've never discussed this on the show, but there was a time a few years back when my wife and I were just getting ready to leave, and I happened to look out on the lake, and we'd seen a canoeist out there, looked like a dad and 3 kids, and it didn't look like they knew what they were doing. And just before we left, for some reason, I went back and looked out on the lake, and the canoe had tipped, and so we dropped the boat off the hoist and raced out there. And the father didn't have a life jacket on, and he was under. So I had to get him up. And the kids did have life jackets on. One was under the canoe. It had tipped over. But we got the kids out, and we got the dad out too. And I think I maybe saved his life. But wearing that personal flotation device, life preserver, is life preserving.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of stories around the states very similar to the one you did. And you know, you saved an individual's life. And the tragedy is sometimes they're not saved. You know, we really stress, and it kind of got a new campaign out. It's called Wear It Wisconsin. And it's kind of highlighting and emphasizing the fact that, you know, the best place to store your life jacket is on your body. About 80% or 85% of our deaths in boating accidents are caused by drowning, and well over 90% of those people who drowned aren't wearing personal flotation devices. So again, simply wearing them can save lives. It will save lives. We know that. It's a well-documented, proven fact. The nice thing is, you know, with technology, from a life jacket standpoint, they've really changed.
Oh, have they ever?
You know, going back when I was a kid, you know, my parents would make me wear the orange horse collar, and you couldn't turn your neck, and it was just uncomfortable. Nowadays, you know, we have inflatables, we have vests that are comfortable to wear. If you want, they'll match your swimsuit, they'll match your boat. So there's really, in my mind, not a good excuse or a good reason not to wear your life jacket, particularly when you're underway and on those boats. So we encourage that for everyone, but really emphasize it for non-swimmers and young kids.
And not only, and I'm not just talking about canoes and kayaks here. We're talking about all kinds of boats.
All kinds of boats. You're right. It's even on large boats. You know, high speeds, hit a wave, hit a wake, and someone falls overboard. You know, or you fall and you bump your head at the same time, and now you're in the water and you're unconscious or disorientated. So, you know, wear the life jackets.
And Stuart, thanks again from you, Vince in Elgin, Illinois. We'll turn to you next. Hi, Vince.
Hi, Larry.
Thanks for calling.
I love your show when I'm traveling through Wisconsin. I love listening to your show.
Thank you
very much for it. Now, I've got a question. I recently bought a boat, and I have a cottage up in Wisconsin, and I registered it in Wisconsin because that's where I use it primarily. And I was wondering about the laws on the trailers. I know in Wisconsin you do not need a license plate on a trailer. But if I was going to take it to another state, would I have to then register that trailer and get a license plate on it?
How long is your boat?
It's 15-foot boat.
Okay.
Yeah. And actually, Vince, it's really a Department of Transportation question, but I believe our licensing for trailers is based on weight. And if you're traveling from one state to the other in the state that you're origined in, does not require licensing of that boat, it would be exempt in the other boat. I mean, that's
in the other state.
Other states. Yeah. That's a reciprocal understanding between states.
Okay.
All right. And if your boat is large enough and your trailer, you're going to have a license because I know I have a license on my trailer. I have to have a license on my 18-foot boat trailer. So, and it's a heavy boat. So.
Yeah.
It depends on the size and length and weight of the boat. Our guest, Todd Schaller, we're talking with him about safety issues in Wisconsin here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking boating safety issues here in Wisconsin with Todd Schaller, Recreation Enforcement and Safety Section Chief for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you listening in today. And if you are thinking about doing some boating this weekend, and a lot of people are, or maybe even as the summer goes along, this is a great program for you to be listening to. But whether it's a canoe or a kayak or a boat, a rowboat or what, a power boat, whatever, there are some issues that we really need to have addressed here in this state. About 35% of the boating fatalities in Wisconsin are usually alcohol or drug related. That's higher than the national average by quite a bit, according to Todd. And so that's certainly something we want to deal with. But also, I'd be interested in hearing your own experiences and your own comments on boating and boating safety. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Give us a call or shoot us an email. You know, I was spent some time here last weekend, actually. We had several Wisconsin Public Radio listeners at our home for a dinner, and so I took people out for rides, and so I think we had three different groups of people because, you know, I could only get so many people legally into the boat at one time. And I was driving, and I wasn't drinking or anything like that, but even a couple of hours out on the lake or an hour and a half out on the lake, the wind and the heat and everything. I was kind of in motion, so forth. I was a little tired even after that.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't realize, you know, particularly if they're not a big boater, don't spend a lot of time on the water. But the elements that a person experiences, wind, waves, sun, you know, that fatigues a person alone. Huh. And, you know, people comment, you know, you get off a boat or after a day or part of a day on the water, you have sea legs and you
yeah.
kind of have that wobble effect. So that's one thing to consider. Well, you know, you throw alcohol or drugs on top of that, and that's just it's accented, I guess. And so that's something to consider, something to really think about. You know, the elements alone are going to impact you, so we don't want to mix alcohol along with that.
Let's take a call from Mike in Des Moines, Iowa next. Mike, hello. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi. How are you doing today?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment. Haven't been on the water all that much, but a little experience that I had following a bigger cabin cruiser in a smaller 16-foot V-bottom boat, to just make sure everybody keeps their distance between the back end of their boat and yours, what may seem like a small wake to go over could end up being a very large wake, and that's what ended up with me. Just putzing along 2-3 miles an hour, in fact, eating an ice cream cone, and went to go over their back roller of that wake, and I was still probably 100 yards from that boat and found out that that wake was about 6 foot tall.
Oh, man.
Threw the boat right on its side. All my passengers ended up staying in the boat, but we all hit the side of the boat pretty hard, and it was a good outcome, but it's you have to watch the bigger boats.
Yeah,
that's no matter if you're going fast or slow.
Yeah.
That's a great point. You know, that wave impact off a boat, particularly off the back, as you said, that roller that comes off the back of larger boats, that certainly can impact boats that are near and around that or try to get over it or around it. So, excellent point.
It's going to be busy out there this weekend, and with a lot of boats going up and down the river, you have to be on top of things and talking about the drinking and driving and being sharp as you can be is a wonderful, wonderful deal to let people know.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate
it.
Yeah, appreciate your call and your comment.
It is. And one thing to keep in mind is, you know, we don't have brakes on boats.
Yeah.
So distance is important. Keep that distance away from other crafts, and that'll make it a safer outing.
Barb in Chilton now. Barbara, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. We were just driving through Stevens Point, and we had you on the radio. Mm-hmm. We have a friend that bought a 19-foot boat at a rummage sale, and he's having a hard time getting a registration for it. He's been trying to do it over the Internet, and is having a very difficult time. How can he go about doing it? So he could get it operating this summer yet. He's been fooling around with it for a couple of months.
Sure. I'm not sure what his problem is with the Internet system, and it does work well for a lot of people. What I would maybe suggest is, particularly if he bought it used from another party, maybe doesn't know the owner, in a boat that's over 16 foot, we do have some title paperwork that goes along with it.
He
needed a title.
Yeah, he'll need a title or a title from the previous owner signed over, no different than we do with our cars. So what I maybe suggest he would do is actually physically go into one of our service centers and be able to talk to a customer service representative, and they can kind of lay out what he's missing and what he needs and that would be my suggestion.
That would be the best way to do it then.
It's going to take, it's not going to take very long when you do it that way.
Right.
All right, great. Thanks, Barb, for calling. Appreciate it. Let's go to Kathy in West Allis next. Hi, Kathy.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to make a comment about the jet skis that are now ripping up and down the rivers.
Yeah.
And the rivers have a lot of kayaks and canoes in them, and, you know, more than once we almost got dumped over because of that. I just wish that they could just be more considerate, and that's all I have to say.
Thanks for calling. Comment, Todd?
Yeah, and it is a good point. And, I, you know, there's lots of ways that people enjoy the outdoors and lots of people that ways that people enjoy our lakes and our rivers, varying types of crafts. And I think the biggest thing, as you said, is we need to be responsible and respectful of how others do it, how others are enjoying the outdoors, whether it's a canoe or a personal watercraft. And we're all out there together. We're all out there for the same reason, to enjoy the great waters and rivers that we have in the state of Wisconsin. So have some respect for those that are in and around you. Distance is a key part. Slow down. You know, that's a very good point.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. Appreciate the call. And you can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or shoot us an email at talk@wpr.org. There's been some CD put out or put together with some music that relates to boating, not necessarily boating safety directly, but they're pretty fine pieces.
There's some great pieces, and it certainly does relate to boating, and it relates to, you know, the, as I said, the great rivers and lakes that we have in the state of Wisconsin, and making sure that they stay healthy.
And we've got one here, and let's see if I can get that one up. And it's one that you'll hear on stations as a public service announcement across the state.
Just to check on the conditions, but any kind of day is a perfect day for fishing. Grab my, pull my hat, and hit the lake. I meet up with my buddy, and my buddy says, wait. He pointed at my bucket, said, where'd you get that bait? I said, friend, what difference does it make? He said, lakes can catch diseases too, and it's our job to take care. Make sure nothing spreads from here to there. So just remember one bait, one lake. If you don't use them up, don't relocate. One bait, one lake, and we'll be okay. One bait, one lake. If you want to fish tomorrow like you're fishing today, use one bait and one lake. Keep the water safe.
All right, guys. It's up to all of us fishermen to prevent the spread of invasive species. So if you're fishing with minnows, don't refill your bucket and transfer that water from one lake or river to another. It's our responsibility to make sure that future generations can enjoy these waters just like we do.
One bay, one lake. If you don't use them up, don't relocate. One bay, one lake, and we'll be okay. One bait, one lake. If you want to fish tomorrow like you're fishing today, use one bait and one lake. Keep the water safe.
That's a nice little piece. One bait, one lake.
Yeah, that's a great little song, and it kind of catches in your mind, and it really gets the message out that we're trying to in that one, particularly for fishermen, to make sure that they don't transfer their bait water from lake to lake and lake to river because of the dangers of passing on invasive and exotic species. And there's another one out there. We have two local production pieces like that, mm-hmm. getting that word out on the invasive rules and regulations, yeah. Making sure that we're not transferring weeds and water from system to system, because that's just potentially passing on those invasives, yeah. And exotics. So
yeah, and if we have time, we'll run another one of those too, because I've got some more. But let's go to caller TJ in Northern Wisconsin. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, this is a question for Todd. Todd, I've done a very good job the last 6 years for getting a lot of DNR rules and regulations. I don't mean that facetiously; it just happened in my old age. Last Sunday, I ran into a guy that had a sailboat. It's 15 feet long, and it wasn't registered. And I was just talking to the guy, and I said, he's from out of state. I said, you know, you might want to get that thing registered if you're planning to use it while you're up here on vacation. He told me he did not need to register it because his state doesn't require that. And is he right? I just forget the rules, or am I right?
No, TJ, you were right, and because that boat is a sailboat is over 12 feet, it would require to be registered in the state of Wisconsin. So, if you bring a boat from out of the state into the state of Wisconsin, it's required to be registered unless it's registered in that state you're bringing it from. So, you were right on.
All right.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah. Keep working so I can keep playing.
Okay. Thanks a lot for calling. Someone posed this question for you. Here's a powerboat pulling a skier and meets a sailboat, which one has the right of way?
In the rules of the road as it pertains to the lake, a non-motorized boat always has the right of way. In that particular case, it really depends upon the directions and how their paths are going to cross. But a non-motorized boat, in a sailboat, under sail is a non-motorized boat, has the right-of-way in that particular setting. And the reason being, or the rationale, is a sailboat obviously has, I guess, less maneuverability and less ability to make a change in their direction. So
there you have it. Let's go to John in Chippewa Falls. Hi, John. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for having me on. Great show.
Thanks.
I was calling. My question was, I'm a member of the United States Power Squadrons, and we're implementing a program right now anticipating that in the future in Wisconsin, possibly as close as 2012, all boat operators will be required to have mandatory licenses just like automobile operators. And I wondered whether your guest could address that. I don't know. Actually, I have my doubts as to how far that will go in the legislature. But we've got a training program set up for instructors right now, and I wondered what his thoughts on that were.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks, John. To kind of pre-up that is currently we're required, if you're born after January 1st, 1989, in order to operate a boat in the state of Wisconsin, you're required to have have completed a boater safety course or safety certificate, and there's a couple ways to do that. You can do it online. We have a couple programs that are offered through our DNR internet site, or you can take a physical class. There's several other legislative processes out there for potential rule changes. He alluded to the one about a mandatory boater certification for all boaters. And if something like that were to go through, that certainly is going to have a big impact on a lot of people as far as trying to get them into courses and educated. So we'll kind of see where that goes. It sounds like the Power Squadron's doing some pre-work and preparation to that, and that's great. And the other one that's kind of floating out there is the requirement for kids under the age of 13 to, while a boat's underway, on boats that are less than 26 feet in length, to wear a personal flotation device, which kind of mirrors a federal law. So there are some potential changes going out there or out there. So as a boater, it's important that you keep updated and become familiar with the boating regulations. As our previous caller, TJ, mentioned, rules do change from time to time, and it's important that we pick up a pamphlet and read through it and become familiar with the boating laws that are applicable for that particular year.
Yeah. And, John, thank you. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Jim in Fountain City, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Jim.
Hi. See, I've got a couple of comments and maybe a question, but with regards to the interaction of wave runners and canoeists, kayakers, et cetera, I've had the experience myself many times where I've had close calls with these vehicles, and I would suggest to listeners, people that use non-motorized type craft, to carry a pencil and paper along with them and or their cell phone and record the serial numbers of these vehicles and turn them in, because law enforcement is pretty skimpy out in the river and other areas. I mean, it's a huge area for law enforcement people to cover. Just not going to catch all these lawbreakers, and I think people have to take it upon themselves to turn these people in and get that sport regulated a little bit more so that there aren't accidents, because there have been a few, and it's very dangerous as fast as they go. And the other comment is with regards to just speed. Now, I live on the Mississippi River here, and the size of power boats that are out there now has increased extremely significantly over the years. You see some boats with 200-plus horsepower that can do easily, I'm sure, 70 miles an hour, if not more. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't believe there are any speed regulations on the Mississippi River to date. Is that correct? Or
That's correct. As far as a state law, there is no, I guess, general speed limits. There's some laws when you're within 100 feet of a dock, rafter, pier, slow and awake, And there may be some local ordinances on lakes and rivers that are passed by the county or the local municipality township. But as a you're correct, Jim. As a general rule, there's no set speed limit for boating by state law.
Yeah, when you think about it, considering especially on weekend coming up like this, and all pretty much all every weekend during the summer,
yeah,
the mass of boating traffic out there, these boats that are capable of this high speed, doing this stuff around people that are skiing and pontoon boats, et cetera, or fishermen, I would really, I've always been hoping that the state of Wisconsin would wise up to the fact that there has to be controls on the speed on the river. I mean, we'd never open up our highways to any speed anyone would want to go. I mean, that would be absurd. So I don't understand why they don't do it on the river, and considering the amount of traffic that's out there.
No. Well, it's a river that's a river like that one is it's got Minnesota and it runs through states all the way from the top of the country to the bottom of the country. So that's you're almost looking at a federal law if you were going to do something like that, I would think, Todd.
Yeah, and particularly in the Mississippi River, at least to have some impact. But you know, Jim makes a couple great points. One is, you know, the boats have gotten bigger, faster as time goes on, and I think anybody who's been around the boating world for any length of time has certainly seen that. And along with that, you know, comes some additional responsibility. You have a bigger, faster boat. You need to understand the dynamics of that boat, the safety concerns that go along with it. The other point Jim made is, you know, if you see problems or violations out there, you know, certainly give the DNR hotline a call. It's 1-800-TIP-WDNR. Or call your local sheriff's department if you're able to get a boat number. It's no different than if you were driving down the highway and you saw somebody doing something illegal or unsafe, you'd get a license plate number and call that in. And I would encourage, as Jim said, when you see that type of thing on the water, to get that boat registration. It's our license numbers on boats, and give us a call, and we can try to address that. And you know, as Jim kind of alluded, kind of clean up or police your own sport.
You bet. Thanks, Jim. John in Wausau, on to you. John, hi.
Hello. Well, first off, I'd just like to give kudos to whoever is, you know, DNR. I grew up next to the Wisconsin, and it has cleaned up phenomenally in the last 20 years. Yeah. I'm just very impressed.
Well, thank you.
Yes, thanks. And that I mean, that's the work of a lot of people and a lot of, not just the DNR. I mean, I think that, you know, the water quality improvement in the state of Wisconsin is really thanks to the effort of everybody in the state of Wisconsin, you know, from industry right on down to the people's lawn care techniques and methods. So there's a lot of people been involved in that process.
And then I have a question.
Okay.
I have a bad back, and I love kayaking, but I just can't go the distance I'd like. I've seen a few kits in other states where you can mount, say, a trolling motor onto a kayak.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was just curious if it's possible to register it then as a motorboat in Wisconsin.
That's John. You're correct. If you put a motor on it, as you said, via a kit or electric trolling motor, whatever it is, you've now turned it into a motorboat. And in the state of Wisconsin, you're required to register all motorboats. So yes, even though it's a kayak by design, we would be able to register it as a motorboat once you place that motor on it.
I guess it's most boats have the sticker on it saying load limit, weight, and horsepower. Seeing as it was not intended as a motorboat, it doesn't have that.
You're correct. It probably doesn't have that as intent. And canoes are probably very similar to that. Although you still can put a motor on it, there is a way to calculate the maximum horsepower for any craft, and that's based on the length and width of the boat. Some basic measurements, if you go to our website, you're able to obtain those. But in most cases, the craft you're describing, you know, somebody's just going to put a very small, lightweight motor that they're just, you know, trying to assist them as you're with your bad back to enjoy the waterways.
Yeah. So just go to the website then.
Yep, they can visit the website, and you know, I encourage a lot of people, everybody, if you have questions specific to boating safety, you know, if you go to the wisconsin.gov website, get to the DNR link, We have a lot of information out there on the rules and regulations, a lot of just general boating tips, some video stuff out there to remind people of boating safety aspects. So go ahead and visit us.
Be safe out on the water. Todd, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Todd Schaller is Recreation Enforcement and Safety Section Chief for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And be safe out there this weekend and every weekend and every weekday, as a matter of fact, while you're out there boating on the water. It's going to be a fun weekend. Let's keep it fun for everyone. Tomorrow, Sharon Morrissey joins us for another edition of Garden Talk. Stay with us. Lots in store.